There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Insight Teen Hour. My name is Frederick and today it's Monday. It's 2 p.m. and we're going to talk about issues related to teen mental health. We do that every Monday. I am from Insight Treatment Programs, which is a teen intensive outpatient programs here in Santa Clarita. And every Monday, we try to bring in people into the studio that we feel has a great message to get out in into our local community, somebody who can help us focus on talking about mental health, teen mental health issues, and reduce the stigma around teen mental health. Last week in the studio, we had our drug and alcohol counselor, Elton, in the studio together with a United Kingdom, actually an English-based therapist, drug and alcohol counselor, and singer, rap artist, who came to the studio to talk about how his music was sort of a way for his outlet and talk about his own story and put things into perspective. This week, we're going to change the subject quite a bit. And this week we're going to talk about teens that has been born maybe with a deficit or are now considered deaf, meaning that they're hearing impaired, right? That their hearing is not as good as at what we wanted it to be, because that, of course, that kind of disability of course also affects teenagers in a big way. As a matter of fact, it affects the entire family. It might not just be the teen that has a deficit. It might also be the parents. So in the studio today, I've invited Lydia Silva, who is a AMFT and who is here from Santa Clarita and specializes in working with families that are having some of these issues and has dedicated a lot of her time and a lot of her energy into sort of supporting families where there is deaf individuals.
Yeah.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me, Frederick. I'm glad to be here.
Of course. It's great to have you here and great to be able to talk about a topic that we often don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even at Insight, in our program, we rarely are talking about it as continued training and stuff like that. So I really think it's helpful that you're here today, not just to give me some advice, of course, and train me or give me some new perspective, but also to make sure that our community has some perspective on this.
Right, right. And sometimes the only way people are exposed to a deaf person is through a movie.
Yeah.
They might see someone using their hands on the sidewalk. And they're intrigued or interested, but the exposure doesn't go past that. And so really being aware of what issues come up for deaf individuals is really important, especially for teens, because they are becoming who they are at that point in their life.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also because I think the perspective we need to remember is it's not everybody who's, you know, it's not that you're either deaf or not deaf.
No.
But you can have a reduced hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, especially at Insight, we've seen that with some of our teens there, that it's sort of part of the package, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are struggling with a lot of different things. They might have struggling in school with learning because of it.
Mm-hmm.
They might be struggling with their personalities or their feelings because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we have an opportunity to talk about this today.
Yeah, so do I. Thanks.
Lydia, so before we start, can you tell us, I mean, obviously you live here in Santa Clarita.
Right.
But can you tell us a little bit about why you're so passionate about this field and why you want to work or why you do dedicate your time to help families?
Sure, sure. Well, this starts at my birth, so let's go way back. Day one. the neighbor had a daughter that was born, I believe it was a month before me. She was born deaf, profoundly deaf. And so the range can be from, you know, a 10% hearing loss, which really isn't that big of a deal, to profound, which means they do not hear any sound through their ears. And so that's what we call profoundly deaf. Now, there's a difference, let me just start off with, between deaf with a big letter D and deaf with the lowercase D. The uppercase D is used to indicate culturally deaf. That means that they are involved with the deaf community at large, and they use American Sign Language, if they're in America, mm-hmm. as their form of language. So the little lowercase d is for those that do not identify as culturally deaf, but have a difference in hearing and don't mind the term deaf impaired. Someone with a cultural uppercase D might say, I do not have an impairment, right? And so those are some of the cultural differences with even just the terminology.
Wow. Yeah. Right. I wasn't aware of that.
Right. So as she grew up, she was fortunate enough to have deaf grandparents, which often happens in deaf families where there's a hereditary. It might skip a generation. So she was exposed early, somewhat, to sign language. In that time, in the 70s, language was evolving and they used to use different kinds of language and they were trying to teach deaf children to speak, which seems mm-hmm. kind of strange that they would have to go to classes and be have their mouths manipulated to try to make sounds for the benefit of those of us that have hearing. But that did not benefit the child, right? So she went through that, and then she went to a deaf residential school. Now, that sounds like residential treatment or something like that, but it's a good thing. This is where deaf kids can come and live in the dorms and go to school and be surrounded by their natural language. Mm-hmm. So I would wait for her to come home on the weekends, and she would teach me what she learned in sign language. And that's the way I grew up. So having a deaf person around was natural to me. And when I went to school and I didn't see people who were deaf or use sign language, it was a little strange, right? Because I grew up with that. As my life went on, my mother kept me involved in taking classes in a community center, at a church, wherever that may be. So I always kind of kept my language up in the background. But when we moved to California, I was actually born in New Mexico, and there's a huge residential New Mexico school for the deaf in Santa Fe. Let me get some water.
Yeah.
When we moved to California in 2014, I said, yes, this is my chance. I'm going to go get my formal education in interpreting. I did that. Then I said, that's not enough. I want to actually get my bachelor's in deaf studies, which I did at California State University, Northridge. They have an awesome program. But I didn't get into the interpreting program because I said, I want to be of service in a different way. I was also working as an interpreter at the time, and I was starting to get feedback from my friends in the deaf community saying, there are no counselors, therapists out there, not enough, right, that can talk directly, one-on-one conversation without a third-party interpreter in the room. Mm-hmm. So imagine going to therapy with all of your deep feelings and all mm-hmm. of that, and this stranger comes in and needs to relay your sensitive information. And you don't know if they're doing it right. You don't know if you're saying the right word or this therapist is going to diagnose you as something that isn't because the interpreter made a mistake.
Interesting. Yeah, makes sense.
So I said, you know what? After my BA, I'm getting into the MFT program at CSUN and I'm almost done there. And then I'll be applying for my associateship and I want to be on board somewhere here in this community. I really love Santa Clarita Valley. So
it is a great little community, right. That's for sure. Well, it's not so little anymore. Not it's so growing like crazy. That's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Great. And so you are describing the difference between deaf with capital D mm-hmm. and deaf with lowercase d.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also describing that you are that there are some kids that are growing up with a reduced hearing.
Right.
And there's others that are growing up with no hearing
right.
at all. Is it somewhat of the same issues that they're facing?
Somewhat. Now, if you're talking about someone that's profoundly deaf, born to a hearing family, I always say, are they hearing? Are you hearing? Am I? You're hearing. So now, Frederick, you know you're hearing. Mm-hmm. That's one of your identities now. You are a hearing person.
Got it.
I was born a hearing person, and now, as I've gotten a little bit older, I actually have lost some of my hearing, and I wear hearing aids. Mm-hmm. And this happened about, 5 years ago or so. It's been happening gradually. It's a hereditary thing. And my grandfather ended up completely deaf. I think he was probably in his 70s. Completely. My dad wore hearing aids, but none of them learned to sign. Okay, that's another huge population, is age, you know, reduced hearing with age. And sometimes it comes on more rapidly. Now, that's a whole other subset of people who have a difference in hearing. Now, people that are profoundly deaf, that's only about 1% of the whole population, okay? But the rest of everyone else brings that up to 40% of our world has some sort of loss of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Do we know the statistics for teens or,
Well, it's going to be, the thing you got to remember is that there's 1% of the overall population, okay? So that transcends to teens, what, individuals.
Of course.
So, what we do know is that over 90, and they're even saying up to 97% of deaf individuals are born to hearing families. This makes a crossroads for a child. From the ages of 0 to 5, we all know the language acquisition is important for a child. Sometimes it's not even discovered that a child has a hearing deficit or a difference until they're 2 years old, and someone notices that the baby is not responding or starting to talk. And that just takes that much learning away, right? You might not be able to talk when you're 0, 1, 2, 3, but you're taking in all of this syllables, the sounds, the syntax, the counter, all of that of language. And if you don't have that by the time you're 5 and your reading ability isn't there, you're that much behind going into kindergarten.
Yeah.
So that's what you call language deprivation. If a child does not have a natural language, which American Sign Language is, a bona fide language with syntax and grammar, if they don't have that, they are not forming their cognitive ability to relate to the world around them. So
often, Lydia, I feel often when we talk with teens in the mental health field, right, we're often talking about that some of these disabilities, whatever that might be, are coming up, are being explored or being found a little too late. We often wish, whether it's a child who's maybe on the spectrum or a child struggling with anxiety, getting in their way for their learning abilities. Of course, if kids have learning disabilities as such. But the idea is that sometimes we see that the system is set up in a way so that we don't catch these things early enough. How is that when we're talking about reduced hearing? And I mean, I remember when I was a kid, my doctor, my GP would check my hearing on a regular basis, and I would argue that if I would have had issues, they probably would have figured it out. And you're talking about people, you know, in the age of two is a little too late. But what is sort of your opinion? Are we testing enough early on to catch it if there is an issue?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
And that's not so much of a problem anymore. You're not seeing a whole lot of children that don't get a hearing test in America. Okay. Other countries are different. Of course. The problem is the family system does not immerse themselves in deaf culture or learning American Sign Language. And therefore, this child is growing up not only 0 to 5, but at the age of 6, at the age of 10, at the age of 12, at the age of 14, and maybe doesn't have as complex communication process with their own family. And a cultural difference. So it really is important that the family, when they discover they have a deaf baby, immerse themselves in the deaf culture, get around deaf people, so that they can help you to integrate language for that child and support that family in being culturally competent and a deaf advocate, so that child can really grow up and be proud of who they are and have identity and know, you know, I am a deaf child of hearing parents. They even have camps for hearing children of deaf parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another switch around.
Yeah.
So it comes down to communication, right? Self-esteem. They might be seen differently. If they are mainstreamed into, you know, a regular public school, what happens then? They have an interpreter that they have to work with, and they also don't get all of the ancillary information that's going on. You know, the kids talking about what happened at lunch, you know, your friends talking about da-da-da. They only have the interpreter to look at, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine how that might feel isolating.
Absolutely. A lot for sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If I couldn't hear, you know, my colleague in the other room talking about how pizza's coming in, I may never know the pizza's here, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not cool. So having, but if everybody were signing and everybody was culturally fluent, they would say, hey, you know, wave with your hand and, you know, in their face, look, there's pizza coming, you know, and be able to speak with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a beautiful culture. I myself have been around it all my life. I'm not by any means speaking on or behalf of the deaf community, but I want to let the hearing people know, right? You are hearing people. That's part of your identity now. If you're listening to this show, know that you are a hearing person.
Absolutely. You also talked about that sometimes as the diagnosis comes out or when the doctors are sort of describing, there's sometimes some information being missed.
Right, right. So imagine you get your baby. You've had this wonderful birth. Your child is here. You're a hearing couple person. You're there with your partner or alone, however it happens. And they take your baby off for their tests and their little pricks in their heels. And they bring back this baby and the doctor's got a look in his face and he says, I'm so sorry. Your child did not pass the hearing test. Ugh. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel good. But to a deaf family, they come in and they say, I'm so sorry. It's not a deaf, you know, you didn't pass the deaf. The deaf parents are going to cheer. We have a deaf baby. It's a blessing,
mm-hmm.
right? So the way that the medical person delivers that information is going to dictate how that family reacts going forward. And there's lots of choices that they have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel that there's enough resources out there to sort of like, but which resources would you send parents to find some information? Are there some organizations you would mm-hmm. recommend?
Right. Lead K, LEAD-K, they are actually helping. It's a campaign, and it stands for Language Equality and Acquisition for Deaf Kids. Now, this is the movement that's pushing to get children before they reach that age of five, and that window for language acquisition has closed. Okay, so that's one organization. There's also Greater Los Angeles Agency on Deafness. They're called GLAAD, and they're really advocates for the deaf community. You can also just Google search, right? Learn some things about the deaf community. And look out for things that talk about autism. So AUDISM, all those isms, audible for our hearing, mm-hmm. autism. So that's someone that looks down, oppresses, treats a deaf individual differently, omits information, doesn't, you know, they are an oppressed body of people sometimes,
mm-hmm.
right? Just with access to information.
Yeah. Good. Well, Lydia, I'm sorry, but we have to go into a quick little break here.
Sure.
And when we get back, we'll talk more about, you know, how does this affect teens?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go into some of the feelings and some of the families you've worked with over time and are familiar with. You know, how does it affect their upbringing and their mood and their feelings?
Right.
How does it affect the family system? So hang in there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to KHTS 98.1 FM. And this is the Insight Teen Hour. Mm-hmm.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Insight Teen Hour. I'm Frederick from Insight Treatment Programs here in Santa Clarita, a teen IOP program in town. And today we're talking about death. And we're talking about how to be, you know, how to have impaired hearing. And I am certainly not an expert in this area. So today in the studio, I'm lucky that I've got Lydia Silva here, who is specialized in that area and who is an AMFT. And she's here to sort of cover some of these areas so that we educate ourselves and know where to go to find more information, but also understand some of the emotional struggles that kids or teens can have if they have reduced hearing or if they're even deaf, right?
Right.
So, Lydia, we were before the break, we sort of covered a lot of things, but one of the things we haven't really covered yet is the deaf language, so mm-hmm. the ASL, mm-hmm. as it's referred to.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and you know, how much should we know as outsiders,
right.
if anything at all, and
right.
when is it used, and how many people are using it, and yeah.
Right. So, American Sign Language, one thing, well, let me just say, I am a hearing individual who has lost a little bit of my hearing, so I'm also hard of hearing without my hearing aids. I always bug my husband, what they say. But I'm not a culturally deaf person. I didn't grow up as, you know, hearing impaired. I didn't grow up with a hearing deficit or anything like that. And I got my bachelor's degree in deaf studies because I wanted to learn more. I don't represent everybody's views because there's a whole range, and mm-hmm. I am a hearing person, so I don't want to take over that field either, right? So I want to have respect. But American Sign Language is a language that you use with your hands, and it's got grammar and syntax. It's a bona fide language. Each country has a different mm-hmm. language, even regions. You could be in the San Fernando Valley, and then in East LA, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And you go over to New Mexico, where I'm born, and it's a little different still. And you get kind of, you get oriented, right? It's like when you go down to Louisiana, you may not be able to understand them for the first 30 minutes. Everybody has a little accent, right? We have an accent in our throat, which makes our voice sound different. And with your hand, we call it accent, which is a little like I'm making a dimple on my wrist here with my index finger. That means you have an accent of your hands,
mm-hmm.
right?
Interesting.
And so it's a total accessible way to have a visual language. Now, people that use American Sign Language, they can also get around really well in other countries learning different, you know, signed languages. And many deaf people are renowned world travelers and have international friendships. How many of us can go to France and in a day or two be able to speak French? No, not happening.
Great quality to have. Yes, I hear you.
Right? Being able to communicate in a, say you're in a grocery store, long aisle. You want to tell somebody, oh, go pick up some sugar. You can do it from across the room as far as your eyes can see. You can talk through glass windows, across the mall to somebody on the third level down there, right? It's a beautiful and wonderful language. So not everybody uses sign language. Not everybody that has a hearing difference uses sign language, but those that do, it's a way to be accessible. So what can hearing people do about that? My son goes to GV High School, and he was ecstatic saying they have ASL as a foreign mm-hmm. language. I'm taking it for my foreign language. Now, why wouldn't somebody take an American foreign language, right? But some people are taking French and they're taking German and they're, okay, are you going to use that? Maybe in America you can use your American Sign Language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Very right. creative. I right. haven't heard that before. I think
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. And imagine being a deaf person, you go up to Starbucks and you want to order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That person at the register might be really freaked out. Like, what do I do now? First thing I tell hearing people, don't flip out. It's a deaf person. Mm-hmm. No big deal. You know, they may write something, type it in their phone, show you their order, order it online, pick it up. But learn some very elementary things about sign language. Go online and learn how to communicate. Say hello. Say I'm interested in sign language. Nice to meet you. This is nice to meet you. I know that I can't see it through the radio, but now, Frederick, you know how to say nice to meet you.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Nice to meet you.
But yes, it makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Show if we could all put in a little bit of effort to learn just a few basic things, like right. If you're traveling in South America and you want to make sure you learn Portuguese, right? Just say hello and goodbye and thank you. And
right.
That would be great, right? To make people feel welcome. And I think that ties a lot into sort of the idea of how does this affect emotionally, right? Mm-hmm. How does it affect teens who are confronted with people who are, you know, obviously don't know how to deal with this, or who are scared of it, or who feels uncomfortable,
right?
How does that affect people's emotional world? What do you see?
Lots of different ways, especially if the parents aren't, you know, going along and learning the sign languages fluently, as the child might be learning it through their school, even if they have, you know, they go to a residential dorm and they stay there and they, you know, have the culture and the language, they come home and their parents don't. Mm-hmm. Now you're causing tension in the family, right? Because it's like having an exchange student come to your home, but totally rejecting everything about them or that they've learned, right? It can be that bad. Mm-hmm. Some parents are ashamed. Some parents are, they just don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And imagine any teenager, if they're different, they want to wear the same kind of shirt, right? You see all these kids out here in 100-degree weather with long sleeves and hot clothes, and you're going, what's going on? But it's a cool thing to do. Everybody does it. What if you're not, you know, you're different. You don't have accessibility to that shirt or those clothes, and you stand out. How much more does a child who is signing stand out, mm-hmm. right? So when you have a difference and you're trying to fit in, it can cause, you know, the feeling of isolation. You can start being depressed. You know, if you're in a mainstream school, I've seen kids that are the only child that are in the whole school that's deaf. That means that they have to make sure, depend on a interpreter. Their teachers turn around to the blackboard and they're writing. They can't see their face or their expression or understand, you know, what they're actually doing because they're talking through the problem. And mm-hmm. they don't understand. A child with moderate hearing that has a hearing aid, the battery died. Now what? I've lost a whole week's lesson? Right? So that causes frustration. You know, technology fails. Mm-hmm. When you're not, your hands aren't going to fail you. These don't have batteries.
So what I hear you say is really that we need to have sign language or ASL more available. Mm-hmm. Just more, that should be more of a common thing.
More
seen in our culture or in our society.
Right.
In schools as well as outside of schools. And Do you meet a lot of sort of hesitancy for people to learn it, whether it's parents or whether it could be people working with kids with hearing impairments? Do you feel that there's a lot of resistance to go in that direction?
Well, yes, there is a whole side of this is very controversial, right? So you have culturally deaf people, and they're accessible native language is ASL, okay? Think about Native American tribes. When mm-hmm. they wanted to communicate with another Native American tribe that didn't speak their dialect mm-hmm. of their native language, what did they use? They used signs, mm-hmm. okay? So it's a natural native language, a natural way to communicate. If one day you lost your voice, which you probably have experienced that, you're going to do a lot of pointing, a lot of come here's, a lot of hand movements, and that's gesturing. It's just the natural way of being. So I would recommend if you're in the community, ask your community centers to provide, you know, sign language classes. Ask, make sure that your high schools do. Make sure that your middle schools do. Ask them, what are you doing for deaf accessibility? September is actually Deaf Awareness Month. So mm-hmm. I would encourage, you know, all of our community to look into what they can do, how much they can learn, and touch base with their counselors and administrators in their schools and make sure, how are you being deaf accessible? Do we have any deaf children in our school? You know, is this a thing that, you know, we need to be more supportive of? I can guarantee you everybody is going to be in contact with deaf people, with people with hearing loss, right? And then there's the other side of the spectrum that want children to learn to speak, like I was talking about, forced to speak with your mouth, but you can't hear, so it doesn't make sense to you. You're just learning how to form noises or, you know, move your lips in a certain way. But lip reading really isn't a thing. It helps. It helps to understand what people are saying. But if you were to cover your eyes and your nose and you just show someone your lips and you just mouth a bunch of words without your voice, that person is not going to know what you're saying. So please stop thinking that they can just lip read. That's the one thing, one of the things that just really gets me, right? And don't be afraid of deaf people. Hand movements, right? If people are really excited, they're going to be big and their hands are going to move. If there's a car accident, right? Say you're in a car accident and this deaf person is like, that could be a problem when police arrive. They think this person is angry, but they're just expressing what happened and this, you know. And so there have been incidences of deaf people getting actually shot by police because they thought that they were going for a weapon or they're using their hands. And so awareness is really key for everybody.
Mm-hmm. If you, when you're talking to deaf people, what do you feel that they would sort of say to us? If there was one or two things that they could say, hey, please do this or please do that. So when I meet somebody, I wish mm-hmm. that they could say hello in sign language. Or mm-hmm. if I meet somebody, I wish that they could not be nervous. Or mm-hmm. I wish that they would, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But what would you think that they would tell, or what would the message be that they would say, hey, this would be my business, this would really make me feel more normal or feel that I'm, you know, that I'm welcomed mm-hmm. if people could do this? Is there mm-hmm. anything in that? Yeah, can you tell us advice that way?
I would say know that deaf people are normal. They just speak differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And one of the quotes that I had here was like, this is by Dr. Laura Ann Petito, and she's a cognitive neuroscientist. She said, the human brain does not discriminate between the hands and the tongue. People discriminate, but not our biological human brain. Mm-hmm. And she has actually traced the parts of the brain that are used in communication. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if they're voiced or with their hands, the same parts of your brain work.
Makes sense. Well, on that note, we have to run into another little break here, Lydia, but we'll be back in a couple of minutes to keep listening. You are listening to KHTS 98.1 FM, and this is the Insight Teen Hour.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Insight Teen Hour. I'm Frederick from Insight Treatment Programs, and today in the studio, I've got Lydia Silva, who's here to help us discuss the topics surrounding teens and deaf, being deaf or having hearing impairments. We've got to the point where we're going to start talking more about the mental health sort of effects of growing up with either parents who are maybe deaf or mm-hmm. being deaf yourself.
Right.
Sort of how it affects emotionally, how it affects the family or especially the teens.
Mm-hmm.
So from working with the teens over all this time, what do you see? What would you sort of like to point out? How does this affect teenagers? How
right.
do they?
So when the teen is the one who is deaf and the parents are hearing, you can have just a feeling of not being understood mm-hmm. by your parents. You can be getting different messages from a hearing world that, you know, it's referred to the hearing world and the deaf world, right? Mm-hmm. And you're getting different messages, different ways of being. It's just, it's a culture. Okay, so if you imagine going to someone's home and they're in a different culture, mm-hmm. things are going to feel different. There's a different vibe. Can't really put your finger on it. There's some things that are different. The language is different. And then you go home and it's different and it can feel isolating. You can feel not understood. There's a way that people talk sometimes and that deaf people say, you know, you sit around the Thanksgiving table and a deaf person is there and everybody's talking. But you didn't have Thanksgiving with your family because you couldn't mm-hmm. understand anything that was being said. Or they weren't using their ASL. They got lazy and they just said, oh, never mind. It wasn't important. That's the worst thing you can do, mm-hmm. right? If you imagine your child asking you, can you tell me about, and you tell your child, it's not important just because you're being lazy to use your sign language. That is autism. Mm-hmm. That is oppression, right? You're not being accessible. You're not allowing that person to communicate in their natural language. And so that can bring up anger. It can bring up depression. It can bring the loneliness. You can have substance use. You can, you know, I know of a young man, young adult, who didn't have very good communication with his parents, and he ended up being duped into doing some things that were less desirable, and because they were paying attention to him and they kind of did something illegal and put the blame on him. Now he's in the judicial system and doesn't understand what's going on because the language isn't there. Not because he's not smart, mm-mm. right? No. But because he's not understanding. I mean, I've never been in a jail, but if I were to go to jail tomorrow, everything would sound foreign to me. Even in my language. So how much more foreign to someone who uses ASL, right? Now, unfortunately, he is drug addicted and living on the streets mm-hmm. because the family unit did not support this culturally deaf person. And yes, he became an adult and he made his own choices, right? But there were some things in his past life that were traumatic because of a cultural difference that didn't get embraced. Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't always happen that way, but we're talking about when it goes awry, right? That's what we're talking about. I was an interpreter in the San Fernando Valley area and went into a residential treatment program where there were a couple of deaf boys, and their anger was apparent, right? They were not getting accessible language. If you imagine 12 boys and all living together and they are communicating and there's one interpreter, mm-hmm. right? How is this one interpreter going to give this child all the stimulation, the input that's happening with all these boys, you know, being rough and tumble, and it's just not going to happen, right? And then you have social workers that the child needs, counselors that the child needs. All of those needs, a lot of times, do not get fulfilled in a way that's necessary, right? They'll call in a hearing interpreter like me, when what should be happening is there should be a deaf interpreter. And that's something I haven't talked to you about, but there are CDIs, certified deaf interpreters, that should be used with deaf people. And then I won't go into all how the mechanics of that works, but all of those things should be prioritized to a deaf person who has specialization as an interpreter. A doctor that is deaf should be preferred over a doctor, you know, who is not deaf.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right? Makes sense.
Even though my goal, being a mental health professional with the deaf community, that's a specialization. Mm-hmm. just because I can communicate with my friends in sign language or that I've worked as an interpreter in the past does not mean I'm qualified to just go in and say I'm a mental health professional for the deaf, right? There's lots of additional things people need to do and therapists need to do in order to be competent in a specialty in mental health. So I would say a lot of anger, a lot of depression, substance use, because if the parents and the siblings aren't, you know, using their sign language, there might be someone else that the child, you know, is paying attention to and, oh, let's go try some marijuana. Let's go do something else or get into some trouble. Just like a teen who's hearing and they're not paying attention to the child or giving them supportive messages or looking and asking their teachers what's going on or doing homework with the child. It's the same kind of effect that you get, but it's just because the language is not being used. You're neglecting your child.
Makes sense. Yeah. How I'm just sitting here thinking, so as a parent, obviously what I hear you say is basically learn ASL, learn the cyber. Even if your kid is able to do lip reading or is able to even speak a bit, still learn it,
right?
Because it is a way for you to show sort of compassion. It's a way for you to show interest. It's a way for you to help when the other things fail,
it's a way to be 100% accessible.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. If I took these off, if I took my hearing aids off, certain tones I don't hear and I can't understand what the people are saying on the screen, even if it's a big screen, I can see their lips. I still need the words on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you don't know how much hearing loss in the future is going to happen. It might change. Right. You might all of a sudden get into an accident, bump your head and become deaf. Not hearing, right? What are you going to do? How are you going to adjust? And there's lots of different technology that you can use. Cochlear implants is one thing that is also controversial, right? Because it doesn't just you hear like a person does when they're born hearing. It's not. It's different. And it's a lot of adjusting and it doesn't always work. And sometimes you lose the little bit of hearing that you do have before you have the surgery.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, I think, Lydia, we have to stop the conversation.
Sure.
It's the Inside Teen Hour is over.
Ah.
So it has been a pleasure having you in the studio. Thanks
right.
for coming here and bringing up a topic that we haven't talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I think is important to get out to our community. So thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Well, watch the movie Coda.
Uh-huh. That's a good one. It was a new one.
It's a brand new one, Academy Awarded movie, and it'll give you a great insight into the two cultures.
Great. And definitely Coda. C-O, let me see.
D-A. C-O-D-A.
Great.
Child of Deaf Adult, is that's what it stands for.
Mm-hmm. Great. Is there any other, I mean, if somebody out there in our community would like to reach you or ask you some questions or...
If somebody had a question, all they have to do is lydia.nicole.silva@gmail.com.
Perfect. Good. Maybe you should mention that one more time.
lydia.nicole.silva@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Ask away.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Mm-hmm.
And hope you'll be back next Monday at 2 p.m. where we'll do another Insight Teen Hour. I'm not sure who's going to be in the studio next Monday, but we'll be back soon. You're listening to KHTS 98.1 FM, the Insight Teen Hour.
I could say, but I will still tell you one thing, we're better together.